Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Start up, Brooklyn boys. Start up, Brooklyn boys. Start up, they making noise. Start up.
Episode 230 of the Brooklyn Boys Podcast. Hello.
Yo.
Hello. Hey. Yo. Oh, hey. We out here.
Are we?
We are, yeah.
I think you out there. I'm not out there.
Oh, I am way out there. I'm in outer space today. I'm on my second cup of caffeine, this one now being a double espresso that I made here at my house.
Oh,
with a
look
little,
at you.
Little Sambuca.
Okay. You have a large bottle of Sambuca, a little bottle of Sambuca?
Well, no, a sifter. They call it a sifter of Sambuca. When you order it after dessert, you know, they say, let me get a sifter of Sambuca.
It's a sifter, not a snifter?
Maybe it's a snifter.
Snifter?
I didn't even know her. Hi-oh. But, yeah, no.
Hey, you're gonna have a little Sambuca tonight at the Italian restaurant you going to?
Oh, God. Yeah. I'm going to that place, Emilio's Bellotto, the place that you went to. And
yeah, the name is like Ruth's Chris. So it was Bellotto's, and then Emilio bought it, but because it was a famous place, so it's Emilio's Bellotto.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, in case you're wondering about the name. Yeah, well, so go ahead.
You hooked it for once. Hold on. Let's mark this date in history.
It's a big deal.
David Brody hooked me up to get into this restaurant. Brody had the hook on this restaurant and got me in. Can you imagine?
That's right. This? Chef Anthony is a big fan of the podcast, but he's been asking both of us to come eat at his restaurant for years. And, you know, I'm a man of the people, so I reply back to all my DMs.
Right.
And I became friendly with him, and I said, you know, we're trying. Then the pandemic hit, and then, you know, restaurants were closed. And then so finally I said, we're going to go. And so my wife and I went. I may have told you the story. My wife and I went about a month ago.
You did tell.
That was the night that we went to a Broadway show afterwards.
Yep.
And then went to Carmine's after that.
Right.
And did a chicken parm comparison and baked clams. It was good. It's a good night. So you're going tonight, thanks to my hookup.
Yeah.
But on Instagram today, which means you missed it yesterday, Dwayne Wade and his wife were there for dinner.
Oh, man. I missed him by a day. But you know what? You never know what the night is going to bring because...
Oh, it's definitely a celeb place. It's a who's who kind of place.
But it's not bougie. Let listeners know. The slices need to understand. This is one of those hole-in-the-wall Italian joints that are worn in, but still has that cachet where... Well, celebrities might stop by. I mean, and it's literally in the village.
Literally, it's on Houston Street. It's literally a hole in the wall because there's a hole in the wall. The walls, the original walls from the 30s, they're exposed concrete and brick. It's got like that, oh my God, this place has been here forever kind of vibe, but in a good way.
Yeah.
But there's only like, I want to say 10 tables in the place.
Yeah.
Maybe. And so it's not a bougie place, but it's a hard place to get into.
Yeah.
Because
everyone wants
people
to go.
Show up there.
And because they have basic run-of-the-mill Italian food. It's not bougie Italian food either. It's like spaghetti and meatballs and like things like that, right? Red sauce stuff.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it basic, but I would call it standard Italian stuff.
It's so basic.
But it's very good. You'll enjoy it.
Well, thank you. So I will have another double espresso tonight probably. And by the way, I've been on this espresso kick because I have my my machine here. And no, by the way, not a sponsor. It's an espresso machine. And I'm not a sponsor. But I got a new delivery of coffee, and I was excited to try this Puerto Rican blend. It's a Puerto Rican double espresso.
Didn't you date a girl who was a Puerto Rican blend many years ago?
Years ago.
Yes.
She was a blend of Cuban, Puerto Rican, Dominican. That was like years and years.
Well, let me know if the coffee tastes similar.
Oh, that was gross. What the hell?
What?
Anyway, so I put some Sambuca in my coffee, and I liked it. There's this Sambuca called Molinari. So Molinari comes from Italy. It actually is cheaper than the Romana, which is the classic one that everybody, the one with the Colosseum on it, the blue and silver label. That's the one like 80% of the places carry. That's like double the price of the Molinari. However, the Molinari tastes 10 times better than the Romana because the Romana has all the chemicals and shit. Pardon me, but it does.
Oh.
The Molinari comes from Italy and it's a better tasting Sambuca. So I didn't have my three beans, though, to put in it. You know, you're supposed to put three beans
in
every espresso martini.
They put those in the espresso martinis. That's right.
They stand for the things like life, health, and I don't know. There's three. Google it. Don't tweet us. But anyway, each bean stands for something. And if you put any less or more beans in, it's bad luck. That's what they say.
Well, you don't have to tweet us because I can Google it. No. I just haven't. But my wife and I went out to dinner two nights ago.
Yeah.
My daughter went to see Sabrina Carpenter at Webster Hall. Madhouse of a place. Crazy busy with a line around the block to get in. You know, even ticket holders, they lined up early. Anyway, so we were like, oh, let's kill time while she's in the concert. We went for dinner on the Lower East Side of Manhattan at a place called Fiasciateria.
Okay.
Fiasciateria. Now, it's in Alphabet City on Avenue C. Alphabet City is one of those neighborhoods that's not a really good neighborhood,
right. But
it's trendy, but it's not. So there's people on the street you're afraid of, but then there's really cool bars and restaurants and trendy people.
Very hipster neighborhood.
And then also, like, you feel like you're going to get killed.
As you go, actually, you know, the Lower East Side starts with Avenue A, and then it goes B, C, D, like that, A, B, C, D, E.
East. Or so, it goes east. It ends east, on C.
Right. So there was a time where you couldn't go past Avenue A. Like, you wouldn't go east of Avenue A to Avenue B because B, C, D were like the pits. But then, over the years, I guess, they got gentrified or whatever you want to call it.
They started doing that in the 90s.
Yeah.
They started adding, like, you know, because the rent was cheap and the real estate was cheap.
Actually, the Broadway show Rent was based on the Life Cafe, which I believe was on Avenue B.
So in that area.
It was in that area. So and it was like everyone was down and out and desperate and stuff.
Yeah. So Rent had a big factor in people moving there.
Yep.
And making it a trendy hipster, sort of. But again, there's also so the restaurant.
How are we on Avenue C?
It was on a bad street, but it's a beautiful restaurant, and it had lights outside, so the lights make it stand out like a beacon through the fog of the neighborhood.
Yeah.
And the reason I'm bringing it up is that we had it's Italian food, but not red sauce Italian food. So we had it's like they make their own pasta. You know, I know who you like this. There's a guy in the corner of the restaurant making fresh pasta, and watch him make the pasta.
Does he bathe it in a bowl of a wheel of cheese? Did you ever see the Parmesan Reggiano wheel, the giant ass wheel, and it's carved out in the middle, and they throw the pasta in there?
Yes.
And the hot pasta's in there, and they're tossing it in the fucking cheese. And the cheese is the bowl, and then they flip the pasta, and then they pour it into your dish. I'm like,
Now wait a minute. It tastes fantastic if you don't think about what's happening.
Why?
Because everybody's food has been in there.
Yeah, but it's before it's been in their mouth.
There's other flavors in there. Wait. And I don't know how refrigerated that cheese is. Every time the hot food hits it, it cooks the cheese. And then it just sits there in the dining room.
It's not meant to be in the refrigerator. Parmesan Reggiano is supposed to be out. It is never in the refrigerator, in fact.
I know, but once it's cooked by the hot food, I don't know. I feel like something's wrong there. Anyway, the guy's making pasta. And the menus were like printed out pieces of paper, clotheslined, like clothespin, wooden clothespinned to a brown paper bag. So one side of the menu was appetizers and one side of the paper bag was clothespinned, printed out of the entrees. Very like low key, right? But the food was fantastic. But they come over with the wine list. You know what the wine list was?
What?
It's a metal handled basket with 8 bottles of wine. And he goes, here is your wine list. And it's actually the bottles with prices around the neck of each bottle. And it says like glass and bottle. That was the wine list. He brought the bottles of wine in a basket with, here's the wine list. Like it was as low key as possible. Like rather than print up a wine list, whatever bottles they have, they bring over in the basket.
Oh my God. I love that. I love that.
Yeah. But the food was excellent. Oh, really good.
Now, by the way.
But that wasn't my question.
What is your question?
I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No, that's okay.
After that, we realized that the concert had 2 more hours. So we went to a local bar. And the bar was empty when we got there because it was like, I don't know, 7 o'clock, 7:30.
Yep.
And so we were like the only ones. There was 2 people in the whole bar. And I got my wife her usual drink, which is a dirty martini, extra dirty, extra olives, with whatever the vodka she likes that they have at the time. And the guy gave her 4 olives.
Mm-hmm.
Because she has extra. There were so many of these fat olives that they didn't fit in the glass. She had to put them in a separate glass.
I love it.
But my wife said that bartenders, as a rule, only give odd amounts of olives and that it was unusual to get 4 olives.
It is unusual. I've only seen 1 or 3. I've never seen 4 or 2.
So I said, maybe it's an extra one for good luck. She's like, it's not how it works.
Not 3.
It's 1 or 3.
It's usually 3.
So is the 4th one the extra one when she said extra olives?
Yes.
Then he should have given 5 then, right?
Or she should have done 3. Yeah, you're right. Mm. Odd numbers only. Or 3 and then a couple on the side.
But then that would be 5.
Yeah, but was it on the toothpick?
You know? Yes, yeah. 4 on the toothpick.
Was it blue cheese olives?
Blue I don't know what that
is. Oh my God, it's my favorite.
No, they were. They didn't have anything in them, but one of them had the pit.
Let me tell you, know me, I'm a vodka soda guy, but I'm a sucker for a nice dirty martini when they have blue cheese olives available. If I see that, I'm getting a dirty martini because I want get to the blue cheese olives.
I know you're vodka soda, but weren't you like cranberry soda for a while, or cranberry vodka?
Dude, that was back in the beginning of my drinking days. I as soon as I learned that the cranberry is nothing but sugar and it's not really good for your urinary tract, then I said I'm abandoning the cranberry. I thought it had health benefits. It does not.
That's what you were doing for your healthy. I'm gonna have cranberry and vodka.
Yeah, I figured the cranberry juice, because you know what? Once again, this is like an old wives' tale. People said, "Oh, have cranberry and vodka because the cranberry juice is good for you." Well, no, it's not. It's fucking sugar, and it's like 70 grams of sugar.
Did a woman tell you that? Because you know, cranberry juice and pineapple juice allegedly.
It makes it sweet. Sweet semen. Thank you, Jack Harlow.
Oh, don't say that.
I'm quoting a hip-hop lyric from First Class.
Yeah.
Jack Harlow.
Yeah. That's not the version I hear on the radio.
Well, because they block it out.
I'm going to try to block that out as well.
Up in the sky. Hey, so when we come back, I got to tell you about the balls on these people. And they're from Brooklyn, of course. The balls on these people.
All right. On these people.
On these people.
Okay. All right. I'm waiting.
I'm embarrassed to be associated with them.
Oh.
The Brooklyn Boys Podcast with Bodie and Scary.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If
you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Is it your family members?
Before the break, talking about the people that I don't want to be associated with.
No, I was going to go back. Yeah.
It's my people, your people, our people. People.
Ooh, from, I don't know if they're my people. I may disown the people now.
People from Brooklyn.
Ooh. Which part of Brooklyn?
I believe.
Our part of Brooklyn?
I think they're, Bensonhurst. So, oh, Jesus. All right. I'm not going to give names.
But Tony, Vinny, Mario.
No, they're women. And I may give occupations.
Angela, Maria, and Rosalie.
Probably. I don't know. Yeah. This sucks, but you know, we've talked about this place on our podcast before. You know, the Butcher's Block in New Jersey down in,
The place you go to for steak and never invite me.
That place. Yeah.
$500 knives.
They're down in Long Branch. Okay. Yes. The steak knives. We've talked about the steak knives.
Yeah. $500.
We've talked about the stolen steak knives before.
That's why I keep saying $500.
Right. Did we talk about the two women specifically that were caught on camera with the steak knives that they...
No.
They,
okay. Was this recent?
I don't think so. Yeah, it was during the summer. So just a quick recap. This place has really expensive... They're $250 steak knives, and they look like butcher's mallet. Not a mallet. What do you call that thing?
The chef's
cleavers.
Knives.
Cleavers. They look like little mini cleavers, and you cut your steak with them. Anyway, they cost about $250 to make, allegedly. That's what I'm told. And that if you get caught stealing them, or if you don't return them, if there's six people at a table and only five come back, they will charge you on the bill $500 for, and it'll say stolen steak knife. Yeah. Because they have the balls to do that. Now, they try and get the knife back. They do everything they can because they don't want to charge you, and they just want their money, their knife back. Well, every once in a while, people get away with the knife, and the waiter or busboy never sees it. So they find the surveillance camera and the surveillance tape, and they embarrass people on their Instagram, the Block NJ. You got to follow them at the Block NJ. So you go there, and every once in a while, they'll put up literal surveillance tape showing idiots on camera, probably half drunk, like shoving knives in their purses. On this one occasion, they posted the video of the surveillance. One woman had fire engine red hair. All right. You're going to steal a steak knife when you have fire engine red hair. Fire engine red hair. And her friend, the two of them. And I heard that the other woman has like a high profile job for the city. I won't go beyond that. So what ended up happening is the Block says, we tried, to get the steak knives back. We saw them. They left without the steak knives. Our bad. I'm sorry. They left without us finding out. Then our bad. We didn't realize that they did. And then we found the surveillance. And then we called the woman. Because keep in mind, every table is attached to a reservation with a phone number.
Oops.
Oopsies. They called the woman's number. They're like, you stole our steak knives. We just want our knife back. Click. Hung up on her. They keep calling. Click. They start. The woman blocks their number of the block. Do they think the block doesn't go quietly, Brody? So these went. So they put the surveillance tape on Instagram, and within minutes, dozens of people are identifying. I think they took it down by now, by the way, because they eventually got their knives back. They embarrassed these women, and people were like, this is so-and-so, this is her name, this is what she does for a living. I found her, I know who that is. Oh my God, dear friends with my friends from Staten Island. I mean, you don't realize how much of a small world this is until you steal a steak knife.
How many redheads are in Brooklyn?
And they blow up, and they blow you up on social media.
Good.
So they got embarrassed. And keep in mind.
Do you think they really got embarrassed? This doesn't sound like the kind of woman who gives a shit.
Yes, they had to have, because the block, they blocked the block's phone number,
they blocked the block.
They blocked the block on the phones.
Wow.
So they put after the surveillance went up, people started giving them hot tips on who these people were. They had the woman's name, and then they Googled her. They started putting up their social media profiles and stuff, and it became like thousands and thousands and thousands of views on social media.
Why didn't you tell me this as it was happening?
Needless to say, why didn't I tell you? I mean, this was like a month ago in August.
Well, and why didn't you tell the morning? Tell the podcast, I mean.
I was going to. We were off for a few weeks. The time we were off. So they finally, I guess, it's enough people called the two thieves, and they said to them, you're all over their social media. Why don't you give the knives back? I mean, it's embarrassing to get caught. They're showing video of you putting it in your fucking purse, and then you just leave, and then you ignore everybody and you ghost them. No. Well, needless to say, eventually they got their steak knives back. I spoke to the people at the block. I said, dude, what happened with that? And they were telling me, yeah, we got our knives back. But fast forward 2 weeks ago, I was in Brooklyn at my friend's restaurant, Brooklyn Roots. Remember another Italian restaurant, Brody?
Yep.
And I was in there for this the sunset of Sicily. It was a Sicilian dinner. I walk in, sit down. I see these two women that look so familiar to me. It was the woman with the fire engine red hair and her friend. Yes, they were having dinner about four tables away from me. And I'm telling my friends, those are the fucking knife stealers. But isn't it amazing how I remembered them from social media because of the video that they posted on? I mean, talk about embarrassing. I wanted to warn my buddy. Hey, dude, just watch table six.
They're
going to take your steak knives. I mean, well.
Did you go over and say hello?
I was going to, and I was going to make a funny joke, you know, because, you know, whatever.
Knife to meet you.
Knife to meet. But isn't that hilarious, though? You catch these people. They were caught red-handed. Is that even a thing anymore, red-handed? I don't know.
Yeah, sure.
And then they finally give the knives back, but now they have a lifetime of embarrassment ahead of them. It's the price you pay. It's the consequences, because the block fought back and put the surveillance tape up on their social. I don't know. I find it really hilarious, but sad at the same time. I mean, because we all know people who've stolen from restaurants, right? Like salt shakers and shit.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
We do know people like that. But, you know, I don't do it. It lets you think about it twice now, because there's video cameras everywhere. Why would you want to do anything so foolish, right?
Especially when it's such a high profile thing.
Yeah.
Right. Like if you're at Outback Steakhouse and you steal a knife, they're not going to go after you. But it's not a $250 knife.
That's like, exactly it.
And I have to be honest with you. What do you want the knife for? What do you want, a butcher block?
Well, I will say they're really cute. And when you're drunk, you may want to steal a knife. I warned I warned my friends who went there. I said, whatever you do, don't steal the knives. I know they're cute, and I know they make great little souvenirs, because there's nothing like them. They're very unique. They're one of a kind, these knives. Yeah. You can't find them anywhere. So people may, you know, get a little hammered and take the shit. But anyway, these two women are from the neighborhood, Brody. So that's our constituency. Well,
and that's the kind of neighborhood we come from.
Yeah, that's where we're from. If there ever was a lesson to be had, it's don't trust us.
Speaking of where we're from, my wife is a big fan of TikTok restaurants. So she follows a lot of foodies. And so if she sees a well-presented restaurant on TikTok that she wants to go to, she'll send it to me. Right? She's challenging me to eat at foofier places with fancier food. So she sent me a place. The food looks a little foofy. It's Italian, but it looks delicious. And I have a feeling you may have been there, but it doesn't look like it belongs in the neighborhood it's in. It's a place in Brooklyn called Fausto. Have you been?
Sure have.
Okay, tell me about it real quick. Tell me about it. Is it too fancy for Brooklyn? Because I know where it is.
It's a Brooklyn hipster.
Yeah, it looks fancy. I didn't see anything with red sauce.
I've been there, yes. I've been there with Robin. And let me just make sure this is the one on Flappish Avenue.
Yep, that's the one.
Yep, been there. Excellent. All excellent right. Restaurant, but it's so not you.
I'm looking at, there's like an egg in the middle of a pasta dish.
Yeah.
Although I do see tagliatelle with meat on it, like a ragu.
I'll say this. It's Italian food in a three-piece suit.
Yeah, it's nice. Bougie, but no, the foodies but in the TikTok video,
no, it's great.
Are all dressed down?
It's hot. It's awesome. It's great food. It's excellent. Yeah, right. I'll tell you what, you don't leave with indigestion. I mean, no offense to what I'm going to eat tonight, but you know, you eat that crazy, this is nonstop red sauce and stuff. You know, all of a sudden you're like, oh my God, I ate too much. Roll me out of here. I'm in a food coma. I'm going to have a food baby.
Yeah. All right.
But you're not going to get that there. You're going to get just the right amount. It's going to be so good. You're going to be able to sleep at night. You're not going to have agita, or you're not going to need the brioski. You know what a brioski is?
It says Alka-Seltzer.
Alka-Seltzer. It's the blue bottle with the white and red label of, and it says brioski on it, and they look like white crunchy cheese doodles. That's the best way I can put it. And you put it into your seltzer or your water, and it just fizzes up. Oh, gives it a little.
Yeah, I had a Sicilian neighbor. So my neighbor was living with a guy who was much older than she was. So let's say she was in her 40s, he was in his 60s. Old world Sicilian, one of the best cooks I've ever met in my life. Yeah. And he talking like this. Like that. So whenever I was sick as a kid, my parents would give me a little Alka-Seltzer, which, by the way, I hate. I hate seltzer. I hated Alka-Seltzer. And that may be why I hate seltzer. But he'd always go, hey, give me a Brumski. What is it?
Brioski.
A Brioski. Yeah, not a Blumski.
Blumski. It sounds like something you find on Pornhub.
No, that's a Blumpkin.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. So, but he would, I guess that was the Italian, what the Italians did was that, the Brioski or whatever.
Yeah.
And the Jews, we had Alka-Seltzer.
Brioschi. Look at it.
Brioski?
Brioski. And I'll tell you what, they haven't changed the image, the packaging, one iota. Brioski lemon flavored effervescent. I can get it on Yummy Bazaar right now for $7.95, and it's the big bomb.
Fantastic! Hey, that Italian restaurant in Brooklyn, do they have mac and cheese?
Which one?
The Fausto place. I don't remember.
Well, it's so fancy. They switch up the menu all the time. It's seasonal, and then they do specials and things.
All right, they probably don't have mac and cheese, but
I'm going to go with no.
You know what mac and cheese is, right?
Of course.
You know what it is.
I know.
So I want to shout out Bell MB17, BellMB17, who tagged me in a post. There's a woman on Twitter. Now, there's speculation as to people were believing this. And I just want to say it's another one of those false acronyms. So she tweeted, you don't need to call it mac and cheese. Mac is already an acronym for mac and cheese. You might as well say ATM machine.
Oh, no, 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 no,
no. No, mac is not short for mac and cheese.
Not an acronym.
Mac is short for macaroni. It's macaroni and cheese shortened to mac and cheese.
Did you correct this person?
Yes. Yes, but I also noticed how many people were like, I was today, I swear to God, scared. I was 2 years old when I learned this. Mind blown. I had no idea. And then there were people saying, I say ATM machine all the time. What's the problem?
Oh, yeah. All right, right, well, enough with that. We've beaten that dead horse. I mean,
no, I
we need to retire that from the grammar.
But the mac and cheese was another one.
All right.
It's the Brooklyn Boys Podcast.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Scary. Have you ever thought something was dead and it wasn't?
Like a relationship?
Well, I'll tell you, like, you ever see something in the street, you thought it was dead, then it moved?
Oh, like a creature, like an insect or something, or a rodent.
Something. Yeah, like that.
Yeah.
So my pool is still open. Today is October 7th. I have a heated pool. And it was supposed to close on Monday, so a few days ago. And it rained, and then so the pool company didn't come, and so it's still open. So I figured if it's going to stay open, I'll keep it clean. Because usually when I know the guy's coming, I take the vacuum out, I turn the heat off, I turn the pump off, and I let it sit.
Yep.
And then he shows up. I don't care at that point. Well, he didn't come. So now I have leaves in my pool. I'm like, I got to get, because the leaves are falling. So I go out to the pool, and I'm cleaning out the leaves with the long-handled netting. And I would tell you, Scary, every summer or every season, I find 1 to 3 dead chipmunks in the little filter basket that you lift out to get the leaves out on each side of the pool. And they're dead, and they're like, they're stiff, like rigor mortis has set in. So what I have to do is I have to get gloves and take the basket out.
Oh.
Then I dump it onto like a handheld skimmer.
This is
and I fling it like a highlight player.
This is the dark side. The dark side
into the woods.
Pool.
Yeah. And by the way, I would still rather have the chipmunks in my pool dead than you. Anyway, so I'm cleaning out the leaves, and I see in the corner of my pool, not in the filter basket, in the corner of my pool, is a floating what I believe to be dead chipmunk. Little dead chipmunk, and I go, oh, I should have closed the pool yesterday, and this guy would be alive. I feel terrible. So I get a couple of more leaves out. I don't rush over to them immediately. And then I stick the hand skimmer in the pool to lift it out and fling it in the forest.
Sure.
Well, when I put it in the water, he reacts to it, or she. I don't know how he identifies, or she. and the little chipmunk starts doing the dog paddle, which I guess is the chipmunk paddle as well. And he's like, trying to get out of the pool.
Oh, my God. So I'm he was just doing the backstroke, going for a swim, and then you just came in there with the shocker.
No, I think he was like, I think he was floating, but like out of breath. Like for the split second I was there, he wasn't, or maybe he was playing dead, like, uh-oh, just got cheese it. The guy's coming with the net. Look out. So he stopped moving. So I go under and scoop him to try to like put him on the deck of the pool. So when I do the scoop, he starts running up the thing towards my arm.
Oh my God.
So what do I do? What would you do at that point?
I would drop the net. I'd get the fuck out of there. I don't know. I'd throw my hands up or something. I don't know.
So I have a handheld skimmer, which it's supposed to be the end of a stick, but I'm holding the part that goes into the handle. So it's really like a foot long, maybe.
Yeah.
And it's like a, you know, it's like a tennis racket, basically, with no handle. And so I don't drop it because my arm is over the pool. And if I drop it, he's going back in the water. So I push it forward to make it past the edge of the pool onto the concrete, the tiling around my pool. So he goes flying and lands on his feet and doesn't move. I assumed he was going to run off. So he stops. I go, oh my God, I broke his legs. Oh my God, I broke his legs. Or I killed him. He's now not moving on the deck of my pool, which means number one, I got to pick him up. Number two, I saved him from drowning and killed him on the sidewalk of my pool.
Is that what happened?
Well, again, Scary, now what would you do? He's laying there. He's soaking wet, or she.
I would run up to it and stamp next to it, like stamp my feet loud, make a loud noise, see if it runs away.
And you wouldn't be afraid it would run up your leg?
No. At that point, no.
Okay.
I'm much bigger than it.
I leave it and I go, oh my God, it's in the deep end of my pool off to the side, you know, out on the deck. I go, oh my God, I feel terrible now. What do I do? I'm like, if he has a broken leg, do I take him to a vet? Like, I don't know what to do. He's not moving. So I go about doing the rest of the pool, getting the leaves out, and I see him. He stands up slowly like a fighter who got punched out, and he shakes off like a dog, wet dog, and he scampers off. He must have been like knocked cold by the flight. I had a non-flying squirrel flying, and I must have knocked him out because
hey,
I didn't
Rocky,
break anything.
Watch me pull a rabbit out of my hat.
Rocky. Yeah. Gee, Rocky. So yeah, watch me pull a squirrel out of my pool. Chipmunk. Yeah. An incredible impression on my part, I know.
Yeah, no, that was great. What is your dog howling at? Is there another chipmunk in your pool? What's going on over there?
You know what? My other two dogs have been groomed today, so he's alone. And so he's barking out the window.
Which one is that?
That's Percy.
Percy.
See, the Bichons have to get groomed every
Percy.
Month.
Have mercy on us, Percy. Come on,
Percy's
man.
Percy's only half. Yeah.
We're doing a podcast over here. What's going on? I'd love to know. Oh, no, don't mute the microphone.
No, I'm not going to yell in the mic.
We'll yell away from the mic. What's the dog yelling at? Who's here?
Percy! Percy! Get over here. Come here. Come get a cookie. He can't come because I have the gate up on the roof. So he's barking.
Well, right, well, so anyway, he's barking at somebody. Maybe you have an intruder or something.
No, it sounds different when he barks when there's an intruder.
Okay.
Then he's more like, right. Arr, 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 like a dog pirate.
Well, are you, so what else is going on here? I have a bit of a rant. People heard this who listened to the Elvis Duran show this morning. Heard this rant this morning. Elvis let me go off for a good minute on the show because this is just unacceptable. And this is just needs to be, this people need to learn for life and not to take shit. Because
I did not hear it because it was earlier than when I got up. So this is new to me.
This is new. It'll be new to you and to a lot of people that don't listen to the show or don't listen live. Okay.
Although I was on the show today.
Yes, you were.
I called in.
As we go to break, why don't you explain where you're going to be if people hear this podcast in the next 24 hours?
Well, why don't I tell you after the commercial? Because it's a whole long to-do.
Is it to-do? Or is it much to-do? Is it much to-do about nothing?
Oh, it's much to-do about something.
Oh.
How about that?
Or how about that? The Brooklyn Boys Podcast with Scary and Brody.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Now, I'm not as wound up as I was earlier this morning. I'm going to try and be calm about this, but I'm
calm about a rant.
All right. Listen, you've heard me talk about the perfect omelet on this podcast before, right?
Yeah. You're a fanatic with your omelets.
First of all,
you don't eat the bulk eggs at the buffet.
You know, right. I hate bulk eggs. I want the omelet guy making omelets live because it's fresh. Now,
As opposed to pre-recorded?
I'm not. When they make it live, as opposed to right in front of your face.
Don't write it. We'll do it live.
They do it in front of your face. You know what I'm saying? That's what I like. I don't like scrambled eggs in a chafing dish pan that are like half coagulated, half watery, and
what
it just
word
clumps
did you just
of
say?
Shit. Coagulated. Coagulated? How do you pronounce that word?
Coagulated.
Coagulated. Mm-hmm. I don't like that. I want my eggs
corrugated like cardboard.
Right. So this goes for anyone who has had a breakfast sandwich and is like, fuck, man, this sucks. You're a breakfast place. You do this for a living. You do this over and over and over, thousands of times a week. You should know how to make eggs for people, right? It's a very simple task. And furthermore, people should get a decent egg sandwich or egg product because, again, it's the beginning of the day. You're setting the table. You're setting your tone for your morning. You got to have something. How do you fuck up eggs? Well, I got an omelet this morning from the place that I always said that I will never fucking order from because they fucked me over 10 times. And then today, Andrew from the Big Show comes in and says, we're ordering from that place again, Scary. And I always say no. And I'm like, they always fuck me over. And then today I'm like, you know what? I'm going to give them an 11th chance. The omelet shows up. It's fucking brown as the day is long. Fucking brown, crusty fucking omelet.
They use brown eggs?
It has nothing to do with brown eggs. I don't care brown or white eggs. I'm talking about the final product. That means they threw not enough butter on the grill, or they threw Pam on there, or they let the butter burn, because the butter, burning butter, and then you throw the egg on top of burning butter, it will fucking turn the whole thing brown. It'll fuck you over.
Oh, burning butter is bitter, it was like, bitter and brown.
It was like the bitter brown fucking burned eggs. So I was...
Is that like the crappy crepe?
So it, the crappy crepe. So I started bitching on air. I was screaming. I was like, I never saw you get so angry. Like, he was laughing his ass off because I would personally had... I was like, you know, it totally fucked up my morning because all I wanted was just an omelet. And they should be light and fluffy. You cook them slow and low. If you cook slow and low,
that is the tempo.
I said that on the air. Nobody got it. It's a Beastie
Thank
Boys.
Thank you, Beastie Boys.
Thank you, Beastie Boys. And if you cook them slow and low, you will always get the perfect egg and a perfect omelet, the perfect scramble, whatever. Slow and low. Yes, you're supposed to have butter in there or margarine or whatever the fuck you put in there. Olive oil. Who cares? Grease, Crisco. It doesn't matter. If that shit is burned and it's too hot, it will fucking burn the egg immediately. So... It tasted like, it had the consistency of like a fucking, like a sponge. It was like a spongy, disgusting mess. And I let them hear it. I fucking let them have it. Now, I didn't, Brent mentioned the place on the air. Again, you know, businesses are struggling everywhere. I don't want to go off on them. But man, oh man, why the fuck can't you make an egg if that is what you do? You are a breakfast place. There's no excuse. There's no excuse. There's a, and there's a right and a wrong way to do eggs. And I don't mean to be a bitch about it, because people are sitting there right now saying, Scary, you're such a bougie asshole. But you know what? You should not stand for subpar breakfast food either. When it comes to eggs, and by the way, it was not just the eggs. The bacon was as greasy as fuck. And then the toast was like wasn't even toasted. It was like a flimsy piece of half-toasted bread. It was the suckiest piece of shit. And the hash, I didn't even talk about the fucking hash browns. The hash brown was mush in a plate. I'm like, what the fuck is this? If I consume this entire meal, I'm going to go home. I'm going to need some brioche. I'm going to need something. It was the most disgusting thing. I'm like, how the fuck do they serve this? And not only that, it costs a lot of money. You're paying a lot of money for these breakfasts. So it just gets your day off in the wrong way. And people settle for the subpar breakfast. If more people complained and said, don't, these eggs are fucking brown and fucking burned, take them back, then people will do better.
What'd they say when you called and complained?
I knew you were going to get me on this. I didn't.
Because you just said.
What did I do?
You just said if people complain, they'll get better.
I threw it in the garbage pail and I fucking cursed him out and walked off. That was it.
Wow. You are a failure in my eyes, sir.
Well, we were doing a radio show. We were doing the morning show. I couldn't like stop and go in the back room. You know, we had stuff to do on the radio. I could have just, it just sucks.
The show takes 10-minute breaks to go to commercials and songs and everything. You could have called. Or you could have had somebody call. And then when they were on the phone, them get away with it. Tomorrow they're going to fuck up somebody's eggs.
The thing is this. More people need to not complain, but get in there and be like, no, this is wrong. Do over.
Right.
Do over.
And then you didn't.
At some point, the thing is, nobody's done that. The thousands and thousousands of customers.
No, you didn't do it. What if they got 9 complaints and they were waiting for one more complaint to fix the problem and get a new egg guy?
They don't.
And you didn't call.
The thing is, I don't want someone to get fired either. I just want someone to like teach these people how to make a basic thing.
Well, how are they going to know if you don't tell them? You can't say I want someone to complain so they get better at it.
My point is people every day are suffering and just sitting there eating a breakfast that's like half, like say, okay, ugh, this is whatever. It's barely passable, but it's edible, so I'm just going to eat it. It sucks.
No, you're right.
You shouldn't have to say that at the end of your breakfast sandwich. It should be fucking like, right. Boom, that was so good. And it puts you it catapults you to a better mood. Like, oh, because this one place we go to, it always has the opposite effect. I always feel like, wow, I'm having the best day ever. And I realize it because the breakfast was quality. Those were great, perfectly scrambled eggs. They were light and fluffy. The avocado was nicely thin sliced. They had a nice fresh croissant. A croissant.
A croissant.
A croissant. That tastes
nice.
Did you pay for
breakfast today?
No, Elvis bought breakfast.
Yeah, that's why you didn't complain. That's why you didn't call them, because it wasn't your money. Because if I was there and he bought the breakfast, I still would have said something on principle. Why should he pay for breakfast and then he gets shit product for his employees, for his coworkers? You should have said something.
I'm just saying.
But I'll tell you what,
yeah.
I went to dinner over the weekend, last weekend, and I didn't complain about something, you would have been proud of me.
How is this possible?
Well,
This is like the third time this has happened now in a month.
We went to a restaurant that I'm not going to say the name, but it sounds like Reasons 25.
Is this David Brody's hologram I'm talking to right now?
No, no. The restaurant, it sounds like Reasons 25, but that's not the name of it.
Hey, if you have dyslexia, you may get this.
Maybe. Okay. So my wife ordered a salad with like tuna tartare, like steak tuna fillets around it, whatever. And I had the pork chop on the bed of Yukon mashed gold potatoes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Meat and potatoes. That's me. You know, that's my plate. And so when we got there, the first thing we ordered was a flatbread pizza. So we said, oh, what flatbread pizzas? We can't decide which one we should get. So the girl says, hey, I would recommend the pesto pepper one, but there's one that's not on the menu. It's a Philly cheesesteak flatbread. It's not on the menu, but it's really, really good. Oh, yeah. I said, well, why isn't it on the menu? Well, it's a special, but it's like limited time and it's not on the menu. I said, oh, we'll have that, because we couldn't decide. We're like, oh, yeah, my wife and I love Philly cheesesteak. We'll have that. So she comes back. She says, oh, we're out of the Philly cheesesteak
flatbread.
What? What? She goes, we just sold the last one. I go, no, you didn't.
How's that possible?
Not possible.
Listen, I understand you order the halibut or the snapper and they're fresh fish to come in, and that's the last piece of the night, and see ya, we're done.
Yeah.
But how do you run out of steakums?
They must have been out of They must have been out of steakums. All right. So we ordered the other flatbread.
What the fuck?
Okay, we ordered the flatbread and we're sitting there for like 15, 20 minutes. There's no flatbread coming.
Yeah.
The waitress comes back and she sees that we have our drinks and she says, oh, how was the flatbread? So I said, I wouldn't know. It never came. Oh my God, I'm so sorry. I told him, I told him. Mm. So then, like 2 minutes later, he comes out with the flatbread and he brings it to us and it was fine. And then our food comes out. My wife's salad comes out and my pork chop comes out. And my pork chop has the diamond grill marks, but an inch around the edge of the pork chop, a semicircle C of my pork chop, is charred black, burnt.
Semicircle?
Well, like a crescent.
A crescent
of an inch around.
Did
like
somebody
a C.
Try and brand it? Are they trying to tell you something?
No, I think the flame was shooting up and it burned the edge of my pork chop. So I said, well, you know what? Maybe it's just the sauce, maybe,
yeah,
that got blackened and is like, you know. So I take a little piece off and it's like chewing a piece of charcoal. So I said, my wife says, you go ahead, you send it back. So the waitress comes over and I say, listen, this is burnt. She goes, oh, I'm so sorry. I'll get you another.
Okay. So it sounds like that sounds like a complaint.
Well, come on. So the manager comes over. So they bring me a new pork chop and it's fine. It's not burnt. Now my wife is, you know, this is the typical thing. She's half done with her salad. Now I have to race to catch up to her, right? The manager comes over and she says, oh, I'm so sorry. Is the second pork chop better? I heard what happened to the first one. Yes, it's fine. You know, it's okay. I said, we're also a little disappointed about the Philly cheesesteak flatbread. We were told we could order it and we're out of it. She says, yeah, it's very popular. I'm sorry about that. But I'm sorry about your pork chop, but I'm glad the second one is good. She says, have a nice night. And she walks away. I go, it's kind of shitty. She didn't say anything, you know, like offer anything, whatever. That's my typical free dessert story. When I was a manager, we burnt your steak. The other people at the table are eating. You're waiting for your food to be redone. Offer your free dessert. So I'm like, So my wife says, well, I was disappointing. Yeah, all right. So they come over at the end of the meal and she says, would you like to see the dessert menu? Sure. So she comes over and she's got like a spiral staircase of little glass cups that you would see at like TGI Fridays.
Yep.
They're like 3-inch high individual desserts. And she's like, oh, we have tiramisu and cookies and cream and s'mores and pumpkin and whatever. She says, would you like one? So like, oh, we'll share one. They were $3, scary. $3 each. We had one.
Okay.
The bill comes.
All right.
She doesn't take the dessert off of our bill.
Oh.
a $3 dessert.
So now, my was wife that a mistake says, or was she?
No. No one ever offered. So my wife says, well, you're not getting free dessert tonight.
Wah, wah, wah.
So I was like, all right, I'm not gonna say anything. We're out for it. No, I'm dressed up nicely. We're out for it. Because it's an upscale place, right? It's near Capitol Grill. We always go to Capitol Grill. It's a fancy schmancy place, right? It's not like bougie, but it's upscale, right? It's not TGI Fridays,
right,
which I love. It's a cut above. Again, it sounds like Reasons 25. So we go home.
Reasons 25.
We go home. That was Saturday night. Monday, my wife texts me and says, call me now. I said, what's going on? She said, well, I got an email survey. How was my experience at Reasons 25?
Yeah.
So I wrote back.
Oh, boy.
What happened? The food was good, but, and was disappointed that the manager didn't do anything. That's it. She said she wasn't going to complain, but they asked her opinion. They sent her a questionnaire. A woman from customer service calls, the general manager of the restaurant calls my wife an hour later and says, we just got your survey. I'm terribly sorry. We will be sending you a $50 gift card.
Oh.
So we didn't have to ask for anything.
Right, but they gave it to you anyway.
So my wife got free dessert because she filled out the survey.
Well, you're a couple.
We're a couple of somethings. Yeah, but my point is, she wasn't going to say anything. I wasn't going to say anything. We were disappointed, but we weren't going to say anything. They sent out the questionnaire. They got what they asked for.
Yep.
And I got $50 towards more than free dessert. So there you go. So I didn't complain.
You didn't.
I still got free dessert.
You, Brody, I'm very, very proud of you. See, the free dessert came. It was free dessert karma.
Karma.
It was karma. The karma came. See?
Yeah.
All right.
See, now, I feel good now.
It was covered in caramel, too.
Not yet.
Not really.
Now,
not that.
At some point, the next time we come back from commercial, Scary,
yep,
I got to tell you what I'm doing at Comic-Con and what I'm releasing today and what I have on sale.
But before that, we are going to take a commercial, and I'm going to have somebody on the phone coming up next because we're not a sports podcast.
Tell my story?
We have to talk to somebody.
All right, well, I'm a sports infuriated podcast. I want to talk about that also.
I'm infuriated with this person. Everyone's entitled.
Is it any member of the Atlanta Braves?
No, everyone's entitled to their own opinion. Okay, but this opinion is wrong, which is also an opinion.
It's not anyone I know, is it?
Oh yeah.
The Brooklyn Boys Podcast. We will be right back.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at PurdueGlobal.edu.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring?
but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Excuse me while I make this phone call here. Do-do-do. Hopefully she answers.
Oh, she?
Yeah. Yep. Gotta do this.
She have red hair?
Yes.
Oh, this is gonna get ugly.
She has an...
Hello?
Danielle!
Hey!
Hey, it's Scary and Brody, Brody and Scary, the Brooklyn Boys podcast.
Hey, Brody and Scary, Scary and Brody, how are you?
This is the second time I'm talking to you today, Danielle.
I know, I feel like I'm honored. Actually, I was talking to Greg T about you today, Bert.
Oh, the Jersey kid. Oh, what were you saying? Oh.
Yes, because he is so excited for you for Comic-Con, and the fact that you're doing this with Wacky Packs, and he was like, this is so cool, Brody, and I said,
Wacky
yes.
Packages. Yeah. Wacky Packages.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I interacted with Greg T. Let me tell you something about the Jersey kid, Danielle, if I might interrupt for a second. I texted him last night. And I said, hey, I have a new song for you, which I'll give details about later. It's my new meth song. And I said, if you want to play it on your radio station, it's more of a rhythmic, dancey song that your station would probably play over Z100 in New York.
Okay.
So T sends back, you can't stop him from texting. Oh my God, I'm so excited. I said, look, I gotta go. I'll send you an email, but I'm getting back in my pool. A pool? What are you doing in your pool? T, I have the heater on. Let me go. I'm watching the football game in the pool. I gotta get back in the pool. I'm getting cold. Don't text me. I gotta go. What do you mean you have TV? T, I really want to get back in the pool. Well, you can't get back in the pool. I understand. How do you do the TV? What do you Okay, so that was last night. This morning.
That sounds about right.
This morning. Scary tells me, hey, listen, we want you to call into the show at 8:20 to talk about what you have going on. I said, great. Yeah. So T texts me at 8:10 and he says, hey, man, I got the song. I got some questions. I said, well, listen, everything's in the email. Everything you need to say about the song is in the email, but I'm getting ready to go on the morning show with the Elvis show. I can't talk now. Don't text me back. Well, what are you doing in the Elvis show? What are you talking about?
One question begat the next, begat the next, begat the next.
I said, listen,
T,
I gotta go on. I'm gonna be at Comic-Con tomorrow. I'm going on in a couple of minutes. I gotta keep the phone clear. I'll talk to you later. What do you mean you're gonna be at Comic-Con? What are you doing at Comic-Con? T, look, I'm gonna be signing order. I sent him the copy and paste of what I've been posting. I said, this is what I'm doing. It's all your questions answered. I gotta go. I'm about to call into the show. This is amazing. I'm so proud of you, bro. I said, okay, great. Don't text anymore. I'm good. So he writes back, but you don't understand. This is a big deal. This is something you like this since you're a kid. This is amazing. Well, listen, I can't play the song. I can't play the song because we're going 2 hours commercial free and it's nonstop music. So I wrote back, it's okay. If you don't play the song, it's fine. Have a great morning. I'm calling in now. He sends me a screenshot of his computer log where he plays the music out of on his station to show me all the music that's lined up. I go, okay, stop texting me. I believe you. I'm not mad. Bro, you know I love your stuff. I would play it, but I got 2 hours of commercial free. You know, bro, we go way back. We go way back. I would play anything. I go, dude, I go, stop.
He's crying.
It's all good. I love you. Have a great day. It's all good. Whatever you do is fine. Are you sure it's okay? Whatever you do. T, I'm going on the air. Stop texting me. All right, bro, I won't text you again.
Yeah.
He has to text me that he's not going to text me anymore.
Yeah. That's Greg T in a nutshell. Now,
I'm going to get upset about Danielle because I know how Danielle is.
Well, Danielle,
I know how she is.
She's got no, Danielle doesn't know why. First of all, Danielle doesn't know why I'm calling. I didn't plan.
I know why you call. You didn't even tell Danielle. He didn't tell me. He said you have an opinion on sports and I already know what it is. Without even you saying a word, I know what it is.
I don't.
So I'm going to let you go.
Let her talk and let me explain. Let me lead Danielle into what she's going to say.
I'm already
say. And Brody has no clue I was even calling you or whatever. But
no, but I was mad.
What did I do now?
The other day I was mad at Danielle in 2000 when they played each other in the Subway Series. I know what she's going
to
say.
This has nothing to do with that. Okay.
Okay.
Now. Okay. Now. All right. So, obviously Aaron Judge set American League history. He surpassed Roger Maris, 62nd home run to his 60 to 61. Yada yada. We all know that. Now.
Yeah.
Now, as it turned out, the guy who caught that ball, all right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. This is not going in the direction Brody may think it is.
Oh, okay.
The guy who caught that ball, all right, mm-hmm. is the 62nd home run. Danielle was doing the story. And then, the other day, on the air. And then Danielle imparts her opinion during the story, all right, which she'll tell you in a second. And then me and late Nate on the show look at each other like, is she fucking crazy?
I know Danielle. I'm going to tell you right now. Danielle, you're full of shit.
No, it's not. No, this isn't a fact. It's an opinion. Brody, hold your fire.
I'm so mad already.
Why don't you explain what your opinion is about the guy who caught the 62nd home run from Aaron Judge and what he should do with the ball? Go for it, Danielle.
So my opinion is that, in my eyes, the ball belongs to Aaron Judge, but hopefully Aaron Judge would take that ball and put it in a museum, let the fans see it, do things with it, maybe bring it to children's hospitals and, stuff like that. I think that if this guy, the guy's not even a Yankee fan that caught it. If he was a Yankee fan, I would say, okay, if you want to keep it for yourself, for your family, for your kids, that's a different situation. Maybe this guy's not even a Yankee fan. Okay. He wasn't even wearing a Yankee hat. He was wearing that Texas hat. Okay? I just think, don't be a greedy bastard and give the freaking ball back to Aaron Judge. And maybe Aaron Judge will be kind enough to give you a little something.
Now, here's the thing.
I have a question.
Danielle, this just goes to show Danielle as sweet. She is so sweet as apple pie and so innocent. But the guy, by the way, Corey Yeomans is the guy who caught it. All right. Now, here's the thing. This is
Yeomans, maybe?
Yeomans, whatever. The point, my whole take on it was, listen, if what's fair is fair. Nobody gives back home run balls anywhere or any type of ball. The ball goes to the stands. The rule is that person gets to do what they want to do with it. Now, and by the way, this is good old-fashioned capitalism. Sports is a business. These guys, these athletes get paid a lot of money for sports contracts. Do they not? They get paid big. So the whole thing is a business. So that means Corey, I should make some fucking money on this ball. Apparently, he was offered $2 million just yesterday.
Originally, it was worth, from the get-go, $2 million.
Right.
But, of course, it's going to be eventually worth a lot more than that.
An auctioneer offered him $2 million. He said, not a hard pass. This guy is going to milk this for the best of his ability to get the most possible that he can. And guess what I say? Pat on the back. God bless him. That's what he should be doing. Why do you think that he's just handed over without any promising anything? No negotiation here.
See, the reason why is that it means a lot to a person like Aaron Judge. I mean, think about what he did in history. No, how many other people can say they did that? And how many people will ever be able to say they did that?
None.
So for him, this is a very special, one of the most amazing things that have ever been done in baseball. And I feel like that guy, Corey, didn't hit the ball. He just happened to be a lucky fan that caught the ball.
But that's great. Scary.
Let me get a word in.
Go for it. Brody is so angry. I knew you'd be pissed.
So this is typical Danielle. Danielle, you are better than all of us, I have to say. You are.
You're nicer than all of us. Good God.
But you had said this: if this guy was a Yankee fan, he could keep the ball and give it to his kids and his family, and that'd be awesome, right? Well,
maybe.
Guess what?
I didn't say definitely. I said maybe I would understand a little bit more.
Well, guess what he's going to give his kids? Ferraris. And I think they're going to like that a lot more than
I know, but let me finish.
Yeah, go ahead. Here's what I'm going to say about Judge. He's a great guy. He's good with kids.
I think he's also looking at it like this. Like, you know what? To him, he's not going to be the sucker to pay $2 million for his own ball. He's like, keep your ball.
But think of it this way. if you made $100,000 a year and you wanted your ball back and the kid said, now in real life, let's say you wanted something and the kid's like, give me $1,000. And it meant the world to you. You make $100,000 a year. You'd come up with $1,000, right? You might come up with $1,000.
Yeah, I would, but to me, it's the principle of you being a jackass.
Absolutely, absolutely. But if you hit the ball, right, and it was $1,000, okay, you wanted it back, $1,000. You make $100,000. $1,000 is a lot of money, but you could put something together. You'd come up with $1,000 if you had to.
Yeah.
Aaron Judge was offered a contract by the Yankees for $270-something million approximately, and he turned it down. He then had the greatest hitting season of any baseball player in the history of American baseball.
That's why he turned it down. He was hoping that this would happen.
Well, but that, no, he would never, nobody would, look, he bet on himself, but no one would ever think in a million years, a guy who was often injured, often didn't live up to expectation, would have the greatest hitting season in the history of baseball. He's going to get a contract. He's going to get a 10-year, maybe an 8-year, 9-year, almost $400 million contract from somebody.
And probably the Mets and not the Yankees. So there's your allegiance right out the window.
It's not
going to
be
the Mets.
I'm telling you, it's either going to be the Yankees or it's going to be where he grew up.
The San Francisco Giants. Okay.
Right.
But what I'm saying is, a man who signs a $400 million contract, to him, $4 million is $1,000 to a person making $100,000.
Yes, and I agree with that.
And the Yankees, if he wants to re-sign with the Yankees, he can very easily say, I want you to work that ball into my contract.
There you go.
And get the billion-dollar Yankee organization to pony up $3 million to the kid, give the kid Major League Baseball tickets to every team in the league for all he wants, whatever he wants, because that's a spit in the bucket to the Yankees. And they go, Aaron, we got your ball back. They make a nice gesture to Aaron. Aaron gets a $400 million contract. The team gives him the ball like a gold watch to a normal person, and everybody's
happy.
That's
a good idea.
But that kid should take that ball and bury it until somebody gives him $3 million.
Damn straight. And you know what Danielle said on the air the other day? She goes,
what?
He should do the right thing and just give it to Judge. And I'm like, what the fuck?
To me, I would be like, oh, I get to meet Aaron Judge and he's going to give me tickets to a game and I get to take pictures with him. Like being the crazy Aaron Judge Yankee person, like to me, that's cool enough. Like, I'm not thinking about the money. I'm thinking about, oh my gosh, I caught Aaron Judge's ball and now I get to take a picture with him.
and then you go home and you tell your British husband, your beautiful, handsome, polite, fun British husband, Sheldon. that you gave away a ball worth $3 to $4 million because you wanted to meet some guy for 2 seconds when you meet celebrities every day.
Listen, and he's gonna go, he loves Aaron Judge too.
Oh,
listen, we were there when he hit his 60th. We were there when he hit his 60th.
Great. And if you caught the 60th, you would have turned that shit over for $100,000 in season tickets.
Danielle, do you know what happens when you have no negotiation and no contract and no work? You get jack dick. And here's how you got
jack.
I'm going to give you an example of the Mark McGwire situation. When he hit, he's in the National League, of course, different than the American, right?
So, and on steroids. And on,
right. With an asterisk, we know. That home run ball, okay, went to somebody. So that somebody said, you know something? Here's what I want. I don't want money. I want to give the ball to Mark McGwire, but I want to meet Mark McGwire, and I want an autographed jersey and this and that and the other thing. You know what Mark McGwire said? Fuck him. I don't want to meet him. No. I will give him an autographed uniform and an autographed bat, whatever the case. So that guy said, well, then fuck you too then. And I think he sold it for how much money, Brody?
The Mark McGwire ball
went for crazy money. Because... And he was a guy being nice. He
and
didn't
now
have
the ball's basically worthless because Barry Bonds hit 73.
Exactly.
Steroids.
So, but the point is, that's what happens when you don't go for the jugular and you don't get. You got to play hardball. Pun intended.
Well, I hear you. How about the Tom Brady football guy though? How about that?
Oh yeah. I would have been pissed if I was him.
He caught Tom Brady's last NFL pass before he retired, and then he sold the ball for like what did he sell for? $1.5 million or
crazy
something.
Crazy amount of money.
$500,000. Whatever he sold
it
for. Some guy bought it. Some guy bought the ball from him.
Some schlub.
Thinking it was his last one.
Yeah, and then 2 days later, he unretires and the ball's worthless.
You know who could have told you that ball would have been worthless?
Who?
Giselle. Giselle would have told you, yeah, he's not leaving.
Well, she caught his balls on a nightly basis, but no longer.
Anymore. Not anymore.
That's different. That's different. That's different.
Anyway, I wanted to get Brody's dander up.
I'm furious. Well, I'll tell you what I thought Danielle was going to say, because I thought it was about the Mets and the Yankees both being in the playoffs.
Nah.
Which doesn't always happen. Because when the Mets and the Yankees played in the World Series, I freaking hate the Yankees. I hate them. But Danielle's like, no, it's New York. You got to root for both teams. She has no anger in her. None.
I love it. She doesn't have a harmful bone in her body.
Danielle's
well, let me tell you something. If the Yankees and the Mets both go to the World Series, I would, of course, be a Yankees fan and root for the Yankees. But if the Yankees don't make it to the World Series and the Mets make it to the World Series against whoever, I'm going to go for the Mets because they're the New York team.
Yeah, see, Danielle's
lack of
anger.
It makes sense. It makes sense to me.
I have to balance out the universe.
The only team that you would never see me ever root for before I drop dead is the Boston Red Sox, and you know that. My dad would have a freaking heart attack looking down at me if he ever saw me do that.
Yeah. See, that's why when the Red Sox played the Mets in the 86 World Series, it was the greatest thing ever because Yankee fans had nobody to root for. Except for Danielle.
So you know, what Danielle's on her way to right now, Brody.
Yeah, Comic-Con.
Oh, yes, I'm actually leaving in a few minutes. I'm going to Comic-Con.
So we'll let you go, and then Brody's going to talk about what he's doing at Comic-Con tomorrow. You guys are going to miss each other by a day.
I know. I honestly wish that our schedule was okay and I would have gone tomorrow to see him, but I'm going away for a soccer tournament for the weekend.
All good, Danielle.
Well,
thank you.
To make it up for us, Danielle is going to tweet out and retweet and repost the link to this episode. Love you, Danielle.
Well, if you hit me on Instagram and
we'll tag you.
I will repost.
Yes, well, you're our special guest, so we'll tag you.
No problem.
Thank you, Danielle. Have a great weekend.
But listen,
love you guys. Bye.
If you catch the ball, you know, the 63rd or some kind of famous ball, hand it, give it to me, and I promise I'll give it to Aaron Judge. I promise.
I'm sure I can trust you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Take care.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Oh, that makes me so angry.
I know. I was flippant with her. I was like, what?
If you catch a guy's first home run, right, I give it back. Because this is like his memories, his first ever home run.
And it's going to be worthless, right? Well, unless he goes on to become an Aaron Judge, of course.
Right, but you don't know. But you give the ball back, you get a jersey, season tickets, whatever you want, you work it out. I give the ball back, absolutely. But on the 62nd home run, if you feel that that's the record, that you got to take the $3 million or you got to take the money. That's millions you're talking about.
I know.
Millions.
I know. Yeah, absolutely. Capitalism, baby.
Capitalism.
So speaking of Comic-Con, why don't you explain to everybody what's going on with your wacky packages? Which, by the way, I would expect my advanced copies of those in the mail, but I didn't seem to see those today.
Well, I have not gotten them, and I'll tell you why.
Uh-huh.
They were printed in Florida a couple of days before Hurricane Ian hit. They got stuck in North Carolina. And they just made it out of North Carolina 2 days ago.
Ah, okay.
I was told there might not even be a Comic-Con in time for me to sign them, but they're going to be there now.
Nice.
So I don't have any yet. They're sending me some. I have, I'm going to print them, put them on my walls, like blow them up and frame them. So wacky packages are collectible stickers made by the Topps Card Company. They famous for baseball cards, but they also made Garbage Pail Kids, which Scary collected.
Love them. And I have every single one of them. Anybody want to buy them? They're for sale. I got the full set.
Yep, they can be valuable. And Neil, the artist who drew the wacky packages, I'm going to tell you about in a minute, drew a lot of Garbage Pail Kids. So, wacky packages are everyday items you find in the store, and they're stickers of them, but they're puns, parodies, trying to make them funny. So, like when I grew up, Ajax was A-Jerks, and it was like an idiot on the thing, and it was like, you know, for morons who want their sinks clean, whatever it is. Like Cover Girl Cosmetics was Cover Ghoul, and it was like a witch on the thing, and that's so you, it's like a pun. You change the name of the product a little bit. So I met the guys from Topps when they came up to the morning show, and I said, you know, I love Topps baseball cards. I collected them when I was a kid, but you know, my favorite was wacky packages, and I'm a comedy writer, and I've always wanted to, you know, write for you guys, at least one, to say I did it. And they said, oh, well, we'll put you in touch with Francis. He's in charge of the wacky packages division. And I said, what? You're kidding me. Wow, that'd be great. Yeah. Anyway, so So I emailed Francis, and Francis said, oh, we'd love for you to write a few. We'd love to make your dream come true. Why don't you send in, we'll do like five. We'll do like a set of five. I said, oh, that'd be fantastic. So it took me about an hour. I wrote up five, and I laid them out, like put this in the corner and put that up there and put this here. And this is all the puns I wrote and everything. I sent in six. I sent in five. One got cut. I wanted to do a parody of Karo syrup, K-A-R-O,
yep,
which is the brown syrup you use for pecan pie. Mm-hmm. And it was going to be Karen syrup. One sip and you'll demand to speak to the manager. And it'd be a woman yelling at a guy behind the counter.
I love that.
And they said, no, that might offend people. I'm like, who's it going to offend? Karens? They get offended by everything. They're like, nope, the censors will never approve it. They blocked it.
Okay.
So then I had, you know those Pop Funkos?
The fun, oh yeah, the fun pop, yeah, pun. Yeah, Funko Pops. That's right. Yes, I'm very familiar with them. They got the big heads and they're the little dolls, the figurines, right. With the big heads. Yes.
So I did poop Funko Poop, and I had like Pooper Man, and it was like a little Superman guy, but like the shit logo on his chest, the right. Poop emoji.
Yes,
instead of the Superman S.
Yes,
and they drew it up, and the censors were like, wah, wah, nope. I did short ones for smart ones, the healthy meals,
right.
And they said no to that too. But I did get four approval. There's five stickers coming out. Four of mine got approved.
All right.
And then one is a copy of what the wrapper would look like. So it's a wrapper with all of the covers. And then the other four that I created. So I will be signing those at Comic-Con October 8th, which is tomorrow. Yep. I hope you get this in time. At 1 o'clock at the Topps booth, which if you have the map when you walk in is 2819. Booth 2819 is a big booth for Topps, all the cards and baseball cards and wacky packages.
That's awesome.
I'll be there with the artist, Neil, signing autographs. And they went on sale today, well, actually last night, for 1 week only. That's how they do it. It's a special limited edition set of five.
Yeah.
It's the New York edition, they're calling it, because it's me. And you can go to my Instagram,
yep,
at David Brody, and the little link in the nice bio, and you'll see the link to buy. It's a set of five. I think it's $9.99. Now, get this. This is where I have to appeal to the slices.
Go for it.
Nobody said anything to me. There's no promises. This is not a job. I don't have a job with them. This is just one of those hobby things I wanted to do when I told you why I was not going to be on the morning show anymore. I wanted time to do fun, creative things. And not be bogged down or waste my, you know, not waste, but use my good stuff on the show. And then when Wacky Packages is like, write something, I go, I don't got anything. I use it for the show. So I'm you know, I'm saving up my material and I use enough Wacky Packages. So they said, wow, you know, if these do well, maybe we'll have you work on the 2023 set when the whole set comes out.
Oh, wow.
For next year.
That's great.
So I kind of need support from the slices to start hitting that link. You know, it'd be nice if you bought them, but hit the link anyway. Check them out. See the one. I did a Count Chocula spoof, a 7-Up spoof, a Samsung TV spoof.
Oh, wow.
And, Lean Cuisine spoof.
Well, yeah, don't give it all away. No. Yeah, but you know what? I may support. I think I may have to buy them and not wait for my advanced complimentary copy. You know what?
I can send you an advanced copy for free.
Well,
anyway.
I would like, I'd also maybe stop by tomorrow.
You have Comic-Con passes?
For an autograph.
If you have Comic-Con passes, you have to get the Comic-Con pass.
I'd love an autograph. I mean, after all, Neil did draw those Garbage Pail Kids in the 80s.
That's correct. Yeah, you want to get Neil's? Fuck you. Listen,
we got some sound that we have to play, and then we got to wrap things up because we're out.
I got one more thing, though, since I'm plugging my Instagram real quick.
Oh, go for it.
Every year when the Mets and the Yankees make it to the postseason, especially when I worked on the morning show, I would write a song for the Mets or the Yankees or the Jets, any of the New York teams. And I would also write songs for some of our bigger affiliates. I wrote songs for the Eagles and the Phillies. In fact, Phillies Got a Feeling to We Got a Feeling played during the postseason for the 2009 Phillies at the stadium. And I've done songs for the Flyers and the Eagles. I think I did... All the Eagle Ladies. And if somebody put a ring on your finger for championships, and it was all the Eagle Ladies, all the Eagle fans. Anyway, I've done songs for other cities, but I did a Mets song in 2006 when the Mets went to the playoffs, and with a local guy in New York from Queens named Lucas Prata with a T, P-R-A-T-A, who grew up a Mets fan. And it got a lot of success. Written up in all the papers. They played it at the stadium, and he did the street fairs with the Mets, and he did events with the team. He was on all kinds of TV shows, local news stations, performing the song. When the Mets went to the World Series in 2015, we did an update on it. I changed all the players' names to the new team, and they played it again. It was a hit again. Well, it's 2022. It's 16 years later. And I'm like, that song's 16 years old. Mets fans who remember the song are asking me and Lucas, hey, what's going on with the song? What are you doing with the song? Are you going to update the song? Come on. So, again, I got plenty of time on my hands. So, I updated the song. And we released it last night. So, if you go to my Instagram, again, the link is in the bio. And one of the links will be, you can hear our Mets song, which hopefully the sports stations will play and the Jersey kid will play it when he comes back from vacation on Tuesday. But if you want to hear it, check it out on my Instagram page. That's it. You can go to commercials now. But I got a lot going on.
We're done. We're commercial free, baby. So we have some four pieces of sound.
I got
Dante Hall in front of me.
Okay. Oh, I didn't want to say his name. I labeled it wrong. Okay. Oh, well, Dante Hall used to be a wide receiver for the Kansas City Chiefs. And he was in England for a pregame show because the NFL has games now occasionally on Sunday morning at 9:30 here because it's in the afternoon in England.
Right.
They have football games.
Go Giants. They're playing this weekend in London.
So they had Dante Hall on because the European League, there used to be a European Football League, and one of the teams was in England. They don't have it anymore, but there were like six or eight teams that played in Spain and Germany, and it doesn't matter. And one of the teams was in England. So he's talking about, in this clip, how he grew up in Texas. He spent most of his time in Texas, and he went to England, and he had to make a decision. Well, every part of this clip we're going to play, and we'll play it twice, he uses the wrong word.
Okay.
Let's listen. And the people laugh along like he's making sense, but he isn't. Go ahead.
I was a Texas boy, had been in Texas 90-plus percentile of my life. Mm. 21 years ahead.
Oh, Jesus.
So percentile, that's not the right word. Yeah, it's
90%.
Right, 90%.
Texas boy, had been in Texas 90-plus percentile of my life. Mm. 21 years, had never left Texas maybe two or three times total. So you go over, now you're living in a totally foreign country. It's one of two ways.
Is there a partially foreign country?
Yeah.
Okay, go on, keep going.
Engage into the culture. I was a Texas boy.
I can't pause it.
Texas, 90-plus percentile of my life.
Mm, let it go.
21 years, had never left Texas maybe two or three times total. So you go over, now you're living in a totally foreign country. It's one of two ways you can go. You can be a hobbit, stay inside and just go to practice, or you can engage into the culture.
Ooh, engage into the culture.
Nope, that's not the mistake. You didn't hear it. They all laughed when he said it. He said, you have a choice to make when you live in a foreign country. You can be a hobbit or you can engage in the culture. He meant hermit.
A hobbit. Oh, hermit.
A hobbit is a character from Lord of the Rings.
Oh, that's hysterical. A hobbit.
And they're laughing like, oh, a hobbit. Yeah. Nope. That's not what he meant.
That's what they
do. You can't go to England and decide to be a hobbit.
Now, Megadon, what do you got?
Okay. All right. So I listen to a fantasy football show on satellite radio. And there's one guy who's the host. He's like, yeah, he's the guy talking like this. The other guy comes in with a fact. He comes in with a fact. He corrects the first guy and adds on to what he says, right? Well, the second guy, who's kind of mumbly, not only gets the name of the shark wrong, the first guy never heard of it, so he doesn't know he's right. He gives him credit for being right, even though he's wrong. And then he tells him it's a movie starring an actor, and then he says the actor's name completely wrong. So this is two guys who know nothing talking on the fantasy football show.
So you are a shark. That's what I think.
You're a shark.
That's what a shark does. Oh, Megadon or whatever they call it. Megadon? I don't know. I don't know what that is.
Is that Megadon?
The prehistoric. That's a large prehistoric shark.
Look at this. I'm impressed by you right now. I haven't said that in a decade. Look at that.
I don't know what that even is, but well done. I'm just
a movie about it too.
Phil, don't tell me if he's wrong because I can't handle it. I want to be impressed with my man right here.
Hold on, dude. Yeah.
I don't even know if that is a thing or not, but I'm impressed.
It's a movie.
Oh, of course.
They're lying because it's Megalodon.
It's a megalodon, but he's like, I'm so impressed. The guy is wrong, and the other guy doesn't even know. He's like, this is terrific. You saw it's a prehistoric. And then he says, you have the clip, the second clip?
I'm impressed.
It's a movie.
He says it's a movie starring Jason Statham. It's Jason Statham.
Oof.
So The guy is wrong across the board, and the other guy keeps going, this guy, I'm so impressed by you. You're so brilliant. Shows you how dumb the first guy is, that he's impressed by the second dumb guy. Now, if you're listening to this, you don't know what Megalodon is, that's fine. But you wouldn't go on the radio and call it a Megadon and have your co-host tell you you're brilliant.
Right.
So,
yeah.
And then say Jason Statham.
Although we do that here on the Brooklyn Boys podcast.
We do. I'm sorry.
Oh, this is Mind If I Join You.
Okay, this is She-Hulk last night. A fantastic episode of She-Hulk. There's a guy in the episode. I'm not going to tell you who the guy is, but the guy sends her over a drink, and she responds improperly.
An apple teeny? Cute.
Mind if I join you?
Sure.
He says, mind if I join you? And she says, sure. That means she does.
Cute.
Mind if I join you?
Sure.
Do you mind if I join you? She says, sure. That means, absolutely, I mind if you join me.
Oh, yeah, people do that all the time.
Yeah.
People do that all the time. That one is very common.
I know, but it's an amazing TV show. Because
but they're speaking like we speak. It's colloquial, right? It's basically layman's terms. It's easy to
digest.
It's
the opposite.
Because I'll tell you why. Because mind if I join you? Right. If you pick apart the sentence, if you say the word yes,
do you mind?
That means I mind. Don't fucking join me.
Right.
But we do it all the time. Everyone does it. That it's almost like an unspoken.
No, it's spoken.
Free pass.
No.
It's a free pass.
No, it's not.
Because we know. Because when you say sure, that means you wouldn't. If you really minded, you wouldn't say it so sexy like sure.
But what if they go? Do you mind if I join you? And you say no. They're gonna sit there. But you meant you don't mind. Oh. You want them to come over. Do you mind if I come over? No. So they're like, oh, there's one to come over. But you asked me if I mind. Anyway, do I have another clip? Is there another clip?
That's all. That's all we got today.
You're a hobbit.
Hobbit. Oh, man. All right. We got to get out of here. Brody, we'll see you at Comic-Con.
At Comic-Con. Tomorrow. And next episode, I promise this. I promise. Episode 131, I will tell you what happened to my luggage at the airport, and I will tell you why I got stopped and questioned by Homeland Security.
I can't believe this. You're a criminal.
Stop, boy, Trump.
Deport
him. Of course
him.
I'm a criminal. We're all criminals. Like the Red Hat Brooklyn.
Boys from Brooklyn! Brooklyn! The boys from Brooklyn!
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.